Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
401-737-1287. Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. We now return to Cordishi and Coit.
Welcome back to Cordishi and Coit on WEEI. He's Nick Coit. I'm Scott Cordishi. Patriots open up the 2019 NFL season tomorrow night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And a guy that we didn't think was going to be there is going to be there. Patriots owner Bob Kraft. If you think about it, Nick, you know, I don't know how many months ago it was now, 4 or 5 months ago, but the whole Orchids of Asia controversy with Bob Kraft, to me, at the time, it was a fait accompli that this guy was going to be suspended week one. He wasn't going to be there for the unveiling of the Super Bowl banner tomorrow night. And yet, my, how that story has all changed and almost completely gone away.
Disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think initially when the story first came out and his name was being connected with trafficking, that's why I think initially everybody was like, whoa, what is he part of here? Like, that's what got connected to. And then as time has gone on, and we've learned more and more of the facts, and we learned more and more about what the police have done here and all that, it seemed like it wasn't, I don't want to call it not as bad, but like, it's, I don't know. I think the police used his name to sort of like really pump up their initiative here and what they were trying to do.
No doubt about it. They were overzealous in going after him and making him the figurehead so they could get all of this publicity for their case.
Yes.
And in the end, it ended up backfiring on them.
Yeah.
Because they did not find evidence of trafficking.
No.
And
not
so
even close.
I just wonder, is this a completely dead issue with Roger Goodell in the National Football League, or is it still kind of an open case?
I think it's still open because I think it's still open in court. Like, I can't remember what the last step here was with the case itself, but you know, I think something's still ongoing there in court. And so once that's resolved, I'm sure the NFL might look at it, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with the ruling of the case or whatever, but it's going to take, I can't remember when the next step is. I'll try to look that up.
But didn't you think when this whole thing went down and then the immediate weeks after
reacting,
that there was no way we were going to see Bob Kraft tomorrow night at Gillette Stadium?
Well,
I thought for sure he was going to suffer something similar to what Jim Irsay did, right? Like a 4-game suspension somewhere around there?
Oh, yeah. And I think we all were taught, we were taking texts and calls like, you know, yeah, we should postpone the ban tonight so Mr. Kraft can be there.
Yeah, let's do it like week 7 versus the...
Belichick would go for that.
Yeah, right? Oh, my gosh. Like, that's
Mr.
What we're
Turn the Page.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll unveil the Super Bowl banner from last year midway through the season.
Let's do it Thursday night against the Giants. Yeah, we'll just postpone it so Mr. Kraft can be there.
And we knew that wasn't going to happen, but you know, we were getting that kind of talk here because we didn't know it was going to happen, but... it's really funny how that has just sort of just died down and we haven't really talked much about it. It's really sort of gone away. But sometimes that happens too when you're waiting for the next step in the process. Like even just a few weeks ago, the Patrick Chung thing came out. We haven't said much about that over the last like week or two because we don't know what the next step is. We don't know where the case is going to go. So until something comes out, and Chung probably won't be disciplined until next season because I think the next step in the case is in November, and even then, there's more to it. So we don't know, you know, what the ruling's going to be, and then the NFL will have a say in it, and then so. But the Kraft thing, it blew up, and then now it's been months since we've really talked about it, and here we are. And he's going to be there.
He'll be there tomorrow night.
Yep.
All right. Let's go back to the calls. 401-737-1287. The phone number, DJ in Fall River. You're next on Cordishi and Coit on WEEI.
I'm disappointed in you guys. No Limp Bizkit this morning. What's going on?
It's Kid Rock.
Who's on the board over there?
Well, that's we had Kid Rock, and that's why I was laughing because we had that conversation, DJ, with Don Darrow. And then, it's funny.
My question to you guys, Jacoby Brissett signs a 2-year, $30 million contract. Good for him, because I like Brissett. What is Tom Brady's true value to that franchise? He's brought that team billions of dollars in revenues over his career. It's got to be billions. It's got to be. With the Super Bowl.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Marketing. Look. And the season ticket list is like 10 years. It's thousands of people long. Like, what is his true value? You can't even probably put a number on it.
No.
Yeah, look, and I understand, you know, and we can get into the whole Brady Belichick debate, who's been more important to the success of this franchise for the last 19, 20 years. But the bottom line is this. When you consider what Tom Brady has accepted for contracts and what his real market value is, he has been severely underpaid in his career. He's taken one for the team time and time again, and you just wonder. I wonder deep down in my heart of hearts if some type of arrangement hasn't been made with him and Kraft. Hey, when you retire, we're going to take care of you, and this is how.
Technically legal, though.
You can't.
Under the CBA,
it's not.
I don't think it is.
Of course not.
It's not, but there could be a nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Yep, we'll take care of you, Tom.
And there's been times, too, where he's negotiated a contract and like the annual value hasn't been, it's been like, I don't know, 14, 15 mil, and it hasn't been like sexy. But under the table, there's been like that big signing bonus. Or like a couple of years ago, he restructured, and it was like, oh, well, he's going to get, I don't know, $15 million over here when he signs the contract, and it's not going to count against the cap because this technicality, that technicality. Like, you know, there's been times where he's gotten a little extra cash under the table from Kraft just to make sure, like, all right, we'll take care of Tom. Here's a little bonus. We'll throw you a bone here. We'll go get you a receiver with that money that's going to be against the cap, whatever. But here's what we're going to do. We'll put it off till next year, and then you'll get that cap. Like, there's been ways that they've worked it a little bit. But you're right. Overall, he's been severely underpaid. And when you look at, you know, you look at Brissett, and good for the kid, because what I loved about that DJ is that he negotiated it himself.
He didn't use an agent.
Well, do you know who else did that? Was Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah,
Teddy Bruschi never had an agent when he played for the Patriots.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And you look at a guy like Brian Hoyer. I just looked up his career earnings. He's made $21 million. That's pretty good for a guy that is marginal.
Yeah,
totally agree.
Yeah.
A lot of people laugh at the guy holding the clipboard or whatever he's doing on the sidelines. I'll do that for $21 million.
$21 million? Yeah.
21 over his career.
Oh.
That's not bad. Sign me up, because that, where else you're going to make that kind of money? And I looked at I'm going to change the topic if I could for 1 second.
Yeah.
I looked back. I watched that NFL Network the other night when they were breaking down the Chiefs AFC championship game.
Yep.
But a stat that gets buried a lot in that game, I just looked it up. The Pats' time of possession, including the overtime, was 44 minutes to 21 in that game. Pats.
Well, and it's
had the ball.
It speaks to, and if you watch those documentaries, and they were fantastic, DJ, especially
they were the
Do Your Job was, I said to Scott up there, the Do Your Job was like a McDaniels propaganda piece. Like, they really pumped him up. But it was interesting to hear them talk about how they lost to the Steelers, and then this plays into the time of possession thing. They looked at their team and they said, okay, we got to switch things up offensively. What do we do well? And I think we're going
to
see some
Patrick
of this
Mahomes,
year.
You had to.
Well, of course, but they looked at their own talent and they said, we can run the ball well. We can go old school power eye and run the ball with James Devlin and Gronk blocking and Sony Michel, our first round pick. The guy can make people miss. Like, they looked at it and they said, we need to do more of that. And they did it at the end of the regular season. It worked, and into the postseason. And at that place to the time of possession thing, like you start running the ball and moving the chains that way. And I think we're going to see more of it this
especially on the road.
Exactly.
You know,
don't forget how much they dominated the first half of that game, too.
They
led 14-0 at halftime. They should have been up 21-0.
Yeah.
Brady got picked when they were on the
That's
one.
Right.
Right.
That's right. Yep.
I mean, they dominated the first half of that game.
Yep.
And I remember they were at the goal line, and I think they called a timeout. And Belichick told McDaniel, just run a play that everybody knows. We're not getting cute. They ran They had Devlin as the fullback, and he just blew out his whoever he was blocking. He just blew him off the line.
Yeah.
And I think Burkhead scored that touchdown. But I like how they simplify that goal line. Some teams try to do that corner fade throw, which is almost impossible to execute. Just power it. You got Devlin. I love that goal line package they bring in with Devlin. How are you going to stop that? Especially if when Gronk was there too, you had two blockers. But I like that simplified goal line offense. The worst play, they should throw it out of the playbook, is that fade to the corner.
Absolutely.
That is just an awful, it's almost impossible to execute because you have no room to even off the ball to the corner. I hate that call.
I've never been a fan of the fade.
Me neither. And it sticks in my head clearly because I was there that night. You remember that Sunday night game a couple years ago during the regular season against the Seahawks where they lost at the, it was like fourth and goal and they threw a fade to Gronk in the corner? And that made me sick because I was like, why?
Oh my God, that's a low percentage. If you want to play to stop the clock, and you know what? Run that play. If you complete it, obviously touchdown. If it's not, it's out of bounds because Brady will just throw it where whoever can catch it catches it. That's it. I like that strategy just to stop the clock.
Sure.
But on a third or fourth down, I would just power run it.
Run the ball.
But I love how they simplify that approach because they wouldn't have won the Super Bowl against Atlanta. When Julio Jones caught that ball on the 21, I said, this game's over. You could kneel down three times, kick a field goal, the game's over. And their seven-step drop, and Matt, I still can't understand that series. If you go back to that particular series, it will blow your mind, and the head coach still maintains, "Hey, we're gunslingers." And I remember watching a sports show, and they're like, "It's called situational football. You don't gunsling it. All you need is a field goal. There, you're on the 21. You remember that catch Julio Jones made? Obviously,
oh, I remember the whole series, everything.
Incredible.
Nobody's better at situational football than the Patriots and highlighting
it's
their strengths.
Simplified, and no other team can execute that. It just amazes me when I look at some of the coaching. And I called last week to say how much better Belichick is than the next guy, and I mean his coaching staff as well, because how many coaches, assistant coaches, have gotten paid leaving the Pats and had no success? Charlie Weiss made about $50 million after he left the Pats with Notre Dame, and I think he's still getting paid, Charlie Weiss,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I love him on the post-game show,
yep.
Charlie Weiss, because he knows every player, what they're thinking. I love him on the post game show, but I don't know if he did it last year or not, but I loved Weiss on the post game.
Oh yeah. No, it's
great.
Yeah.
Analyst.
Yeah.
Great
yeah.
Analyst. But I watched that game. Trubisky, they were 12-4 last year. How are they 12-4?
Well, they have a real good defense, DJ. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So, but thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. We got a text here. We're talking about the fade pass.
Yeah.
Well, that fade pass worked great for the Giants against the Patriots to ruin their undefeated season in 2007.
Yeah. Here's the difference too. The fade pass worked great because Ellis Hobbs stumbled on his face. Like, oh God. God. Yeah. No, you're right. It's right.
By the way, update from the FIBA World Cup, the United States playing Greece and Giannis.
Oh,
okay.
And?
Kemba against Giannis. 9-9 with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Of course, the big concern there is Tatum tweaked the ankle off for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart's been injured too. Jaylen Brown in the starting lineup for Team USA with Kemba Walker.
He played pretty well the other night.
Yeah. Had some nice dunks. What do you have, 20 points, I think? 22, something like that.
Yep.
So anyway, just an update there. We'll take a quick timeout. And Nick and I will come back to wrap things up on Cordish and Coit on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.